Transcendental Knowledge, text 22, chapter 4, text 22. Please repeat. Yadrishtam Labham Shantishtam Dvangvaditam Vimatsaram Samam Siddham, Asiddham, Cham, Vitvatu, Na, Nibhadyate. Translation by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He who is satisfied with gain which comes of his own accord, who is free from dwari and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. A Krishna-conscious person does not make much endeavor even to maintain his body. He is satisfied with gains which are obtained of their own accord. He neither begs nor borrows, but he labors honestly as far as is in his power, and is satisfied with whatever is obtained by his own honest labor. He is therefore independent in his livelihood. He does not accept engagement in anyone's service if it might hamper his own service in Krishna consciousness. However, for the service of the Lord, he can participate in any kind of action without being disturbed by the duality of the material world. The duality of the material world is felt in terms of heat and cold, or misery and happiness. A Krishna conscious person is above duality because he does not hesitate to act in any way for the satisfaction of Krishna. Therefore, he is steady both in success and in failure. These signs are visible when one is fully in transcendental knowledge. Oma Girati Vidanyasya Jnana Gina Shalakaya Chakshun Unilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhuvam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vitapatakamana Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sankajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Sabadutam, Parijana, Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Pada, Sahagana, Lalita, Sri Visakam, Vitam Sicha. Ye Krishna, Kruna, Sindhu, Nila Pandu, Jagat Pate, Gopesha Gopita Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostite. Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamabhi, Hari Priye. Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivachari Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Sumati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityananda. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gaurabani Pracharini, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya Sitanya. Namo Mahapadanyaya, Krishna Prema Padayati, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Shri Namah Ananda Iyamaya Vigrahaya Vimavya Dhiraya Chavishundaraya Kasima Primaras Dine, Titani Tindine, Monomasti, Titani Tindine, Monomasti, Titani Tindine, Monomasti, Titani Tindine, Monomasti. Hare Krishna. So I need the text and translation again, and after that, begging your permission and guidance from Parampara, Maharaj, Srila Bhaktira Maharaj, His Guru Maharaj, Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada, that I be used to say what they want you to hear. Hare Krishna. Yaki Shalava Santusho, Vandra Dito Vimatsara, Sama Siddhava Siddhocha, Kripa Vina Nibadhyase. He who is satisfied with gain which comes of his own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. So, this chapter is called Transcendental Knowledge. Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna, for our benefit, the person who doesn't get entangled in material nature, that is. The person who is satisfied with gain which comes of his own accord. We had a discussion this morning about that. The person who is satisfied with gain, what comes of his own accord, and who is free from duality and does not envy. Gain coming of its own accord. Well, a lot of us work and we get paycheck. So some people might start saying, well, I don't know that is gain of his own accord, because we put in the labor and we get paid for that. The person who is satisfied with gain which comes of his own accord. Now, we need to be reminded that even when it comes to work, that gain came of its own accord. Why? Well, you may get the job now, but once upon a time you have to apply for that job. Then you got it, right? Well, how did you get it? Did you decide you're going to give yourself a job? Krishna arranged for you to get the job. First point. Krishna arranged. It was possible that you also couldn't get the job. Then where would the gain be? You wouldn't get any gain. So the fact that you're able to work is because Krishna is giving you the mercy materially to get that job. Therefore, that gain came through Krishna and not you. You were just a beneficiary of it. So still, Krishna underlines everything that happens. The person who is free from duality, that is supposed to be a Krishna conscious person, because Krishna consciousness does not include any duality. There is activities in Krishna consciousness. That's it. Krishna is absolute. Service is an absolute platform. Even at this point that we're not too advanced, that includes me. Still, the service that we do by the mercy of the Parampara is on an absolute platform. Sometimes we may categorize something as good, sometimes it's not good, but Krishna takes all the service that comes in as good for our growth, and it counts towards our spiritual credits. That's all. Whether the result from it was in our minds success or failure, it doesn't matter. In the battle of Kurukshetra, before the war itself started, Krishna was encouraging Arjuna to fight, but he was telling him also, don't worry about the results. Arjuna was very worried that he was going to fight his relatives. He said, go on, fight, don't worry about the results. So that should be the attitude for us when we serve. Put in our very best and leave Krishna with the results, how it turns out. Therefore, when a person is thinking that way, then success or failure doesn't matter, because they are serving. And what comes out of it is based on Krishna's own desire. And that's why that person can be steady in both success and failure. They are serving, and they're putting in the best for their service. And that is all. So that kind of person is never entangled. They won't be entangled because they never touched to being a success or being a failure. They just serve. They serve. But one day, maybe Prabhu will be playing the mudanga, nice microphone, you can hear it. And other days, you can't hear it because the microphone isn't working. It's not working. Does it matter? Just play the mudanga, that's all. Whether the microphone works or not. That's the attitude. And the body should be, of course, the person responsible for the PA system in his service is going to try to make it work. But the person that's playing should just keep playing. Because you're serving Krishna, that's all. If we get attached to, this is going to work, this is not going to work, we're going to run ourselves crazy. That's what's going to happen. Because this is the material world. This is the material world. The duality is there. You can't say it's not there, but our service should be steady. I am serving Krishna to the best of my ability. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. So, that kind of person is not entangled, even though they're performing actions. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada says, the Krishna conscious person does not make much endeavor even to maintain his body. He is satisfied with gains which are obtained of their own accord. He doesn't beg, he doesn't borrow, but he labors honestly as far as what's in his power to do. He labors honestly and is satisfied with whatever is obtained by his own honest labor. Therefore, for us, this applies. But we can also endeavor in Krishna consciousness. When we want to do something for Krishna, then we should really endeavor. Because it is for Krishna and for Krishna's devotees. For ourselves, even bare minimum is okay. Now that means sometimes some of us have a lot and sometimes some of us don't have much. But all that Krishna watches, whether we do or not, is how much we use what we have in his service. So we are all at different financial levels. It doesn't matter. Right now, when we use what we have in serving Krishna to the best of our ability, that's what matters. Some of us have apartments, we want to hold a program, and maybe 10 people can fit in, and not more than that. So it might be a big house, 100 people can fit in, or maybe on the lawn or something. It's all different. When you have more and you use it in serving Krishna, Krishna is pleased. When you have little but you use it to the best of your ability to serve Krishna, Krishna is pleased. After all, where is home? Spiritual world. Does it really matter here? When we go back home, the facilities are there. There was no shortage at that time. So we are serving with the best that Krishna has given us. When we endeavor, then we should endeavor because we have Krishna conscious service in mind. And in that type of consciousness, Krishna will actually open the door. He will give us more than we even think could happen. As long as we would use it responsibly in Krishna's service. So, a person who is that nature is, as Srila Prabhupada saying, independent in his livelihood. He is independent in his livelihood. He doesn't accept engagement in anyone's service if it might hamper his own service in Krishna consciousness. In other words, when somebody tries to divert a person who is serving such that that service is going to be cut off, involve themselves in something that is going to be make it difficult to do their own service, Krishna conscious service, then that particular thing should not be accepted. In other words, as Rupa Goswami says, accept activities, everything that helps us to serve Krishna and reject those that do not help us in serving Krishna. Okay. So for the service of the Lord, he can participate in any action, any kind of action, without being disturbed about the duality of the material world. Krishna didn't say, or Sri Prabhupada hasn't said in the purport here that there is no duality in the material world. It is there. He said, but we should work without being disturbed about it. There is a devotee, a sannyasi that came the other day, I forget his name, and he made a point which stuck with me, and I came to Baltimore, but not to preach, just came with my family, and he was mentioning something about a devotee that was in anxiety materially. anxiety about something material. And the point that we made was that Sri Prabhupada said, if you are in anxiety about a material thing, then you're not even a devotee. In other words, devotees are not supposed to worry about material things. Your mantra is, Krishna is in control. Krishna is in control. As soon as you tell your mind Krishna is in control, what is there to worry about? So material things, no. But physical conscious things, activities, you want to, you know, you put in the best of your ability. Therefore, yes, you can put in that energy to make it work well as you can make it work. So materially, we shouldn't be disturbed by the duality. It's there. It's like the seasons. They come and go. It's warm now. Give it about 4 months, it's going to turn cold, and then it's going to get warm again, and then it's going to get cold again. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There is nice weather in the spiritual world all the time. All of the time. Isn't that nice? That's home. But here we have to put up with. Put up with the changes. Don't worry about the changes, is what Sri Prabhupada is making. Pointing out here. So, much of what's being said here in this text very much relates to the second shloka in Nectar of Instruction. Nectar of Instruction. The second shloka is Achahara Parashchascha Prajapuni Madraha Janasangascha Lulyamcha Satri Bhakti Vijayashati. Achahara Prayasascha. Achahara. Not overeat and not overcollect. Don't eat too much, because you eat too much, it affects the body. You collect too much, you're thinking so much that you don't need. Usually what happens, you get clutter. Clutter surroundings affect the mind also. So eat just enough. Don't overeat, don't undereat. See, the Prabhupada actually advises, even though it's from Ayurveda, I remember one lecture, I've been recording lectures for years, actually changing from cassette to CD, so I get to hear them. And then he says, before you eat, drink a glass of water. Drink a glass of water. Sometimes you just give, you know, material advice too. Because then the tummy is not going to take in so much, because it's filled partly with water. That's not the only thing. Water has great benefit too in the digestion. So it's best to drink a glass of water than eat. Even some of these people that are so much into health for, you know, material reasons, they also see the same thing. So not too much eating, overeating, and not overcollecting. Prayas is over-endeavoring for material things. Over-endeavoring for material things. So we should not endeavor too much for material things. If you're going to endeavor, it has to be for spiritual things. That's where the real credits are. Prajapa, idle talk. Gossip, in effect. Stay away from gossip. Prajapa, nimagraha. Niyama, this is two words, niyama and agraha. Niyama is rules and regulations. And agraha is too much attachment to it or too much neglect of. So let's explain that. Rules and regulations, we should not stop following rules and regulations. We should not stop following. But also, we shouldn't follow it just because it's there to follow it without understanding the spirit of the rules and regulations. We have to follow the rules and regulations knowing the purpose of the rules and regulations. Following that. For example, you know, a little child, and this happened to me one time in school, and not the university, this is middle school, and I asked the children, why are you here? They said, Mommy said I should come here. Which means they don't really know why they're in school. The teacher and the game from that, they just said, Mommy said I should come, which means Mommy not there, Mommy's not there, Bobby won't go to school. You don't know the purpose of it. So nimagraha is either you don't follow the rules and regulations or you follow it without understanding why we are following. Jhana Sangha, the Lonium Chap, Jhana Sangha is association with worldly minded people. Those people won't help you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Devotees do that, and devotees are comfortable chanting together the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so we associate with devotees. Endeavor to associate with devotees. I know some of us work, and our co-workers, a good many of them are not devotees. We go in, first of all, we dedicate the work to Krishna. Please, before you start work, anything, prayer to Krishna. Let the work, the activities in the work go according to your own plan. Some people may say, well, but that's material work. And then I have my rounds, and I have my sadhana, therefore it's different. And I'm saying, didn't Krishna create both material and spiritual worlds? It's all his. Rupa Goswami says, think about Krishna, never forget Krishna. Therefore, when you're working, you're also supposed to think about Krishna. So then how can you say work is different? As soon as you say work is different, Maya is going to say, yes, work is different. Stay with the work. Don't chant. As soon as you give Maya an inch, you take a mile. The job is part of our service because the pay from the job is money, and we take some of it and put it in the temple. Therefore, it's actually an indirect devotional service. So why not dedicate that to Krishna also? Besides, if we, and as like my pastor said, Atma Nivedanam, just surrender everything to Krishna, everything means everything. Not just only spiritual thing, everything. That's also there. So, since the idea is we will in fact support our families properly with the proceeds from work, that's one. And also, of course, get them more involved in Krishna consciousness. That's the second thing, because that's why we have families. That's what we ask as a family for Krishna consciousness. And the temple also has to be, will run, and it takes money to do that. Therefore, we put what we get from a job into some of it into the supporting the temple. When that's done, then even the job is also spiritualized. You may not see it that way, but in fact, that's exactly what happens. It's an indirect dovetailing of a service to Krishna. So even that, you need to pray first and then start working. So Krishna controls what happens even on the job. Now, if we don't, so there's one more. Loyal. Loyal is greed. Or as Sri Prabhupada translated, ardent longing. Greed. Something you want, material, and when you're not really careful, greed can turn to envy if you don't get what you want, especially if it's material. This, my material mother told me this, and I'm going to share it with you, and that is, if somebody has something that you want, don't envy that person. Don't be greedy for it. Put in the energy and go get one yourself. He wasn't born with that thing. So if he's not born with that thing and he got it, you can too. If it's that important to you, then put in the energy and get it yourself. Do the same thing. And then when you be smart, though, you use part of it in Krishna's service. If you get splits and pairs on top of that. No point envying, no point gossiping. Okay? So, those being greedy for mundane achievements, that will put us in trouble as far as our Krishna consciousness is concerned. So we have to be careful about the activities that come our way, because Maya never goes to sleep. She's always watching the sea and pulling us away. So Sri Prabhupada gives an analogy about the body being a chariot, and the five senses of the body, that's what we use, they're like five horses, and the mind is the reins, the rope that holds the horses. The intelligence is a person driving the charioteer, and the jiva is the passenger. So, the body is the chariot, the senses are five horses, and if the intelligence, the charioteer, does not use the reins to have them going in the direction they're supposed to go, that is Krishna consciousness, then they will go all every which way, and then there will be problems for us. Now, these days, we don't use chariots. We don't. So, Sri Radha Maharaj gave an analogy for the modern world. Most of us, if you're going to go back home, which many of you are from India, you will fly. You use an aircraft. So, let me the point of the lecture I was listening to. December 1999, it turned out that there was an airplane belonging to India that was traveling to Delhi, and it got hijacked to Afghanistan. Now, bless your heart, you weren't on that plane. But the plane gets hijacked, the passengers get in great anxiety. So they were in a helpless condition. Now, even though we don't wish that on anybody, we have similar situations. Coming to spiritual life is like boarding an aircraft. The devotee is leading a spiritual life expecting to go to the spiritual world. But then minus agents can get in and hijack the airplane. This is possible. So, what do we need to do? First, we have to be careful. Well, how was the airplane hijacked in the first place? It had to be the security was not so tight. The airport didn't pay attention to what was going on, and the hijackers got in unnoticed. So, security needs to be tight, which means in our devotional life, security also has to be tight. How do we get security? We need to maintain our sadhana as a matter of life or death. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's not a recitation. Our very life depends on it. So we should say it with seriousness and we should say it with attention. We told so many times when we chant japa, we should concentrate on the holy name. The mind tends to go different directions. Therefore, it's important to have something. The mind is connected with the senses. Once the senses are focused on the holy name, then the mind doesn't move around so much. Therefore, if we have pictures of a deity, or if we're in a temple room right in front of the deity, or even if we have a piece of paper and we've written the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on that paper, so that we can see as we're chanting, we can hear the Prabhupada in the background chanting. That's very important to do. We add it to your chanting. He's a pure devotee. Therefore, his chanting purifies the atmosphere. And then, we should not chant silently. We should chant so we can hear. So then the ears are involved in it. The eyes are involved in it. The more senses that are involved, the less the senses are going to go somewhere because now they engage in the holy name. So then the mind can't go anywhere. That way we concentrate on the holy name. The holy name is very sweet. And if we pour our hearts out and serve devotees, serve lovingly devotees, we will find out that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in japa is actually a very sweet thing to do. It's actually a very sweet thing to do. Why? Because Krishna's name itself is sweet. The name of Krishna is sweet. The name of Krishna is Krishna. So, it's important that we keep our security. And that is, make sure that we chant our rounds, 16 rounds minimum. When we do that, that's our spiritual security against Maya. Chanting 16 rounds minimum attentively, obeying the regulative principles, hearing or reading the scriptures, and not offending anyone. If we chant our rounds attentively, especially since the mind moves like that, use or engage the good meaning of our senses as we describe here in the chanting process. Obeying the regulative principles. Now we can stop there for a minute. Some of us struggle with regulative principles. Practically in the beginning, all of us struggle with regulative principles, not unless you came directly from the spiritual world. There is going to be some struggle. So, there have been articles about it. There have been people who've been honestly coming out and writing into the E magazine, Chakra, and so on, and saying, what do we do about some of these regulatory principles? Some people say, what do we do about all of the regulatory principles? But whatever the situation is, we cannot purify ourselves. That is not possible. It's first thing you have to understand. You can't purify yourself. You can be determined to do the best that you can, but you can't totally purify yourself, though. Who purifies? Krishna does. Therefore, you have to do what pleases Krishna. Krishna says, Yeyatamapabhyante tam sitava bhajami aham. To the extent to which we surrender, he rewards accordingly. Therefore, if we serve Krishna honestly, serve him sincerely, then he is pleased, and when he is pleased, he knows what our problems are. We are struggling with regulatory principles. He will give us the means individually to be able to deal with regulatory principles and deal with them the way it's supposed to be. So how do we serve so Krishna is pleased? Believe me, beloved, it starts with actually serving devotees the best way you can. Not Krishna. You serve devotees. You serve devotees with love. Listen to devotees when they're talking. Whatever the needs are, as they're talking, you will hear. They're not intending on getting anything from you. But sometimes they mention some difficulties that they're having, materially. Whatever you hear, then from that point on, do the best that you can to satisfy that need. The six exchanges of love, that's also in the, that's actually the next one, the next level of instruction. Giving gifts and receiving gifts. So you focus on giving gifts. If you, there's somebody receive a gift, that's nice. You're very thankful to the person. And your relationship with the person will be nice. But give gifts. And as far as giving gifts, there's one thing that I'd like to mention. It happens practically all of us. We have calendars, right? Vaishnava calendars for the year. And 2016 is already gone. I bet you the Vaishnava calendars 2016, we really don't know what to do with them because we finished using them. We are in 2017. You can cut those pictures, the wonderful Radha Krishna pictures, and get picture frames and put them in and give them out as gifts rather than just let it sit. You can give those things out. When somebody is interested, you can give it to devotees, but somebody that's interested in Krishna consciousness, coming in for the first time, wonderful gift to give them. If they're getting inclined to Krishna consciousness a little bit, then give them the picture so they can remember Krishna. So you can do that. That's one of the things you can do. So giving gifts, receiving gifts. And give prasadam and receive prasadam. Again, you focus on giving prasadam. Because if somebody gives you prasadam, that's nice. Your relationship with them is nice. Giving prasadam. So many of us will think giving prasadam means give prasadam to maybe another devotee, or maybe give a snack with the prasadam to somebody who is not Krishna conscious and doesn't really want to be Krishna conscious, but we know everybody likes to eat. So if you give prasadam that is a snack that they like, they will take that. While they may not want to even listen to Krishna consciousness or take a book from you, they will take a small snack from you and eat that. And as soon as that person takes that prasadam in Mahaprasad, then their spiritual life actually starts. They don't know yet, but they will be favorable later on. So that's people. But now, we need to learn to spread the mercy. Because we can give prasadam more out than we imagine, than we really know. And what are we talking about? Well, we can give prasadam to people. But not all living entities are people. There are birds, there are animals, there are trees. We need to think of giving them the mercy also. Now, when we offer our bhoga, we finish cooking, we offer to the deities. We offer whatever we cooked, and then water, right? Offer to the deities. So, the deity finished eating, the offering is over, you take it away from the deities, and then that's Mahaprasad. More than likely, you will share it with your family. Now, if you take a little bit of that Mahaprasad, especially since we are in summer now, a little bit of it, in a little container, go out of your house, across the street, put it in the corner somewhere in the grass, The ants will get to it. Some other insects will get to it. A few crawling entities will get to it. Then they eat the pashada. The water, that's just water. So, well, it's maha water. We may drink it. But what entities outside use water for food? The plants, the trees. They're out there. They can't chant. They can't eat pashada until you go give it to them. So every plant in your beginning to house, every plant in your house has to have maha water. That's their food. It's water to us, but it's food to them. Now, I checked with a couple of sannyasis. His name, doesn't matter, names don't matter right now. Some of them escaped me. I asked this about giving to the non-human living entities that we just talked about. What is the effect? It's a huge effect on them. If you give water, mother water, to a plant, that's tree life. Now, the sequence for that tree, if they didn't get Mahaprasad, is from a tree life, they're going to go to an insect life. And from insect life, they'll go to a bird life. And then from bird life, they'll go to an animal life. And then animal life to human life. If you give the water to the plant, they go from that life path directly to a human. You didn't know that. I didn't know that either, but I tell you. So every plant that receives a lot of water goes from plant life directly to a human life, the next life, and starts devotional service. Means devotees. That's how much mercy you can give. And there's a lot of trees out there. There's a lot of trees around the house. My spiritual master, my spiritual master, is where he was living, the time he was living. He loves plants. He calls them, I call them plants. He says, no, they are plant devotees. That's his terminology for them. Plant devotees. So the water is actually one that you can show so much mercy to. The grass in front of your house. Everyone that the water touches, they're going from that life to a human life. To start devotion. So, start spreading the mercy. So, give prasadam in only for devotees or those who are humans who are trying to come to Krishna consciousness. Give the non-human ones too. They also need it. And it's that powerful. So, we may look at ourselves as humble devotees, but there's so much power that's there in this system of devotion that if we give any water to a plant, that plant takes birth as a human. So, now we know. Right? So we need to apply it because the more mercy you give, the more Krishna you give, the more Krishna is pleased with you. Our growth in Krishna consciousness depends on how much we help others. So now others are not just other human beings, but other living entities. Well, the bacteria won't get so lucky because they can't drink water, but there are so many human beings that, I mean, the other beings that will benefit from this. So now the prasadam is not only for your family, the Mahaprasad, some of it should go out, and the Mahawada, some of it should also go out. And you will see an improvement in your own life, including dealing with the regulated principles, if you have that. Yes. The more of your heart that you give out, the more Krishna helps you with what you need. And that's how it works. So, Maya's agents then won't get opportunities to give us too much trouble the more we open up to help other devotees. Maya's agents, they are lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy. Some of it are issues that we deal with in that particular category. But when we open our hearts more, then these will actually be dealt with. And what happens from that is developing love. All of these things, as Nectar of Instruction says, is actually six exchanges of love anyway. So doing this, we develop love for Krishna's devotees, and therefore, when we develop love like that, including the non-human living entities, then Guru is pleased, and when Guru is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. Yashad Prashad, Bhagavad Prashad. So we should take it one step further and not only distribute for ourselves, but also for the other living entities that can't get anything unless we help them. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Thank you for tolerating me. Jehovah ki. So any questions or comments? Okay. So it seems like everything is all right. So interrupt me if you want to, but I suppose we can end also. Ratna Shiva Bhagavad Gita ki.